Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hey, and we're back to Friday, getting together with you and with our audience out there. I always enjoy it.
Our worldwide audience.
Oh, yes.
And we get questions from across the planet. We haven't had any from the moon yet, but, well, we have a Canadian heading that in that direction, so he might send us a question
or
two.
Yeah,
mining stocks on the moon. Our first question today comes from Goran. He asks, which currency will most likely be the strongest one the next 3 and 12 months?
Yeah, that is a good question. On our work, Goran, we've got the U.S. dollar, the DX, maybe continuing to, I mean, it's really nervous this week, but I think it's trying to build a six-month base. We've seen this before in other series, and then the base successfully concludes, of course, if it stays together for a couple of months yet, by rising above the 20-week EMA. And so this is what we're watching for. So hopefully sideways for the DX for the next few months, and then after August, the credit markets can turn towards disaster, in which case the U.S. dollar would go up. We've seen that with the crisis last fall, and the DX soared straight up in its final move to 114.75, where it was extremely overbought. So, and as I say, the base building could continue for a couple of months, and then after August, we would look for it starting the DX to start trending stronger.
Our next question comes from Justin in Berkeley. Bob, there's a lot of press fear-mongering lately about the dollar being removed as the reserve currency, but Bob and several guests on Howe Street laughed this off. One reason is nobody wants or could administrate the burden of the senior currency. Bob has mentioned that all the debt markets are denominated in U.S. dollars. Hypothetically, if the dollar was to decline and get removed as the senior currency, wouldn't that mean hundreds of trillions of dollar-dominated debt would vaporize? How do you get out of dollars, convert it to another supposed senior currency, and buy assets? Good luck with that. That sounds like a lot like the word that shall never be uttered, deflation.
Yeah, Justin, fun paragraph. The financial markets decide which is going to be the reserve currency, and usually it's the financial and commercial center. In the late 1500s, it was Amsterdam. And when Holland then was so prosperous, you wouldn't believe it. It had the money market, plus it was a commercial center. And then, you could say early 1700s, as England came on the scene as the next prosperous location, and very quietly, eventually, sterling became the senior currency, and London became the senior financial market. And then somewhere in the 1930s, the process started to change over to New York and the U.S. dollar as the senior currency. Oh, they had Bretton Woods agreements and all that sort of stuff, but the financial world decides which is going to be the senior currency. And as I said, it's always been the commercial and financial center of the world. Now, Shanghai is becoming an important center of the world, but not Beijing, and there's no way that so long as China is communist, that it would ever become the hosting the senior currency. So all of this is, you know, there's a whole army of people out there who don't like the U.S. dollar, and that's all there is to it. But market forces can be very persuasive. So, it'll stay as the U.S. dollar for a number of years, maybe still for forever. So let's look to forever.
Well, what was the Roman currency? It was good for 1,000 years.
Yeah, and also the Byzant, the whatever, the coin out of Constantinople.
Mm.
That was really late. So Rome and then Constantinople. So
And yeah. Bob, even after the fall of the Roman Empire, weren't people still using Roman coins for hundreds and hundreds of years after that?
If you had a good silver or gold coin, it was usable.
Didn't matter if it had Tiberius or Augustus or whoever on it.
Yeah.
A question from Butch in Alberta. Thanks for the show, Jim and Bob. I never miss an episode. Does Bob think interest rates have peaked for a while, and what does he think of locking in deposits medium term? You can get over 4% in some places, and also locking it in U.S. dollars. Could that give you a double whammy with currency appreciation? Thank you very much, Butch.
Yeah, good points. Yeah, interest rates, very complicated. The interest rates for junk bonds are going to go to infinity because these things are going to go no bid and default. So, you know, that then makes a very expensive mistake. On the other hand, at some points, long treasuries, particularly U.S. and maybe even Government of Canada ones, will get their rallies from time to time. But the thing to get about a post-bubble world is that real long rates go up. That's where you take the nominal rate and adjust it for rate of inflation. And that has been happening, and it's been painful so far. And it can get extremely painful before it's over. And then also, at some point, maybe after August, the T-bill rate, which is barely past its high, it can roll over and head down to zero, in which case the Fed then has to follow in raising its administered rates while trying to look like it's in charge of things. So now, as to personally, where do you put your money? One that takes a bit of work, and you've got to be in touch with a bond desk, is that you can get U.S. corporates, good grade U.S. corporates, maybe about a four-year maturity. You're going to be fairly safe there from price swings and adversity. So you'll get a better yield than in just straight cash deposits or T-bills. And then the other hand, with getting the U.S. Corporate bond, you're going to get the kick out of the U.S. dollar on its next advance relative to most currencies, including the Canadian dollar. But in our work yesterday, the Canadian dollar has been acting very well, and it's in a pattern where it could be it could act well for a while yet. So anyways, yeah, so I like your term, double whammy. If you've got some income coming from U.S. investments, you got the yield, plus you got the currency appreciation. So, good stuff.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy as we take a look at some of today's big headlines.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoyt. Bob, a headline today on all the business news networks. The U.S. big banks made record, in the case of J.P. Morgan, record revenue in the first quarter. At least J.P. Morgan and the big boys in the U.S. aren't feeling the heat.
Oh, yeah. You can make money when a boom is on. But we've seen that if the bank is balance sheet's not healthy, when the contraction comes in, it gets whacked. We had that SVB or whatever they called it. And, of course, that was pretty radical banking, and they got whacked. So, yeah, they're making money now, but who knows how strong their balance sheet is.
Well,
and they won't know themselves until they get a real good test of it.
Right, and that was record revenue. It didn't say profit. People shouldn't confuse those two things at all, right? A headline, small businesses file for bankruptcy at record rate.
This is concerning, Jim, because, gosh, I think it's something like 60% of small businesses in the U.S. employ something like 60% of the people.
Small business in Canada and the U.S., it's about 70%. They're the biggest employers of people in both countries.
Anyways, they're very important. Yeah. But they're saying at a record pace, whereas the small businesses really got hit in the COVID crisis, you know, where governments then favored big box stores and made conditions hopeless for small businesses. So that's an unpleasant headline.
Central bank gold buying shows no sign of slowing down.
Yeah, that's intriguing. Each central bank has its own research department with PhD economists, and all of those economists have taken the same courses, have the same PhD, so, hey, no different thinking anywhere. So why are they buying gold? I think they're looking at their own inflationary policies and deciding that they've got to hedge their own disastrous policies by owning gold. And for thousands of years, gold was the basis of any bank, whether it was a private bank, a commercial bank, a merchant bank, or a central bank. The only reserve has been gold. And you get off of that and you get into strange worlds. So, yeah, I don't know the thinking behind it, but it is a practical move.
Well, China and Russia have been buying up all the gold they can lay their hands on the last decade.
Yeah, they've been buying gold, yeah.
Headline, debt crunch looms for weaker economies with a wall of bond maturities ahead. Explain that one, Bob.
Doesn't that say it? Mm. This is what I've been going on about, is that once it's in a bubble, it's great to take on debt. Bubble is over, economy slows, and then it's very difficult to service debt. And this is one, I like a wall of bond maturities ahead. Ooh, that's what it's all about, servicing debt.
Headline, European commercial real estate, the cracks are beginning to show.
Yeah. And again, that's a very illiquid market. We've seen the comments from the big BlackRock, and they're getting calls for cash, and they're then having to liquidate real estate. But, you know, the next headline is turn off the Fed bubble machine. Now, Jim, do you remember the Lawrence Welk show?
Sure do. One and a two. Yeah.
And he played, absolutely dreadful music. Da, 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 yeah. da. And he always had the pop, because he called it champagne music, and they had the pop of opening the cork. Mm. Well, Stan Freberg, the comic, he did a brilliant takeoff on the bubble machine. And the story is that, yes, indeed, in Freiburg's takeoff, they can't turn the bubble machine off, and the whole of their ballroom is floating off to sea on a bunch of bubbles. So, and the Wall Street Journal referenced to that, and you looked at the article, the guys were referring to the Stan Freiburg lampoon. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Yeah, and you can, anybody wants to look it up, you just go Stan Freiburg, Lawrence Welk bubble machine, and that'll bring it up.
Top Swedish pension fund fires its CEO after big losses on U.S. banks.
Yeah, that's unusual. They might take a CEO who made a mistake and move him sideways, but this one was written up as being fired. So, he's lost his position, which is right. If you make a mistake, you get to harvest the results of your mistake.
And was that his personal policy, where I'm the boss and you're going to do this, even if the underlings say, sir, this could be a mistake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, for once, maybe somebody's paying the price. Now, Britain has a law that says now if you're the CEO of a bank that goes under, you face criminal charges. You should know what the hell's going on at your own bank.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that one.
It's not a headline
rather,
today, Bob, but it's
rather harsh.
But, well, after the 2008 collapse.
Yeah.
Yeah. They thought, well, if you're going to ruin people's lives, maybe your life should be ruined.
Originally, sound banking was that the partners who put and directors who put in the money, they were liable for the losses. And indeed, the start of banking in Canada and Montreal, I think, 1818, maybe with the Bank of Montreal, that was the case. And maybe they were liable for 1.5 times what they put in. That's just my memory going on it. But that was the start of sound banking in Canada. So, and then the other headline is kind of a wrapping one. Finally, Europeans may be rejecting the electric vehicle Kool-Aid. Oh, that couldn't be better put. These electric cars are supposed to be environmentally pure because they don't burn gasoline and they don't leave carbon monoxide and all kind of nitrous combustion products. But hey, all of the damage is done in making the batteries. You got to mine huge amounts of stuff and a lot of it pretty toxic and difficult mining conditions and all that sort of stuff. So all it is a conscience clear whereby I'm being pure, but they don't, I doubt that they even understand how much devastation environmentally happens in just making the batteries. And at some point they'll understand. But the main thing is I think the fad for electric vehicles is probably peaked and heading down.
Mike Swanson, friend of the show, mentioned a recent survey found 70% of Americans plan not to buy an electric vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Joe Biden, of course, is coming out and saying in 10 years or something, everybody's got to have an electric vehicle. That is ridiculous. So
I know we always focus on lithium when it comes to electric vehicles, but where are we going to get the copper? An electric vehicle uses 277% more copper than a regular vehicle does.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned lithium, and the price action in lithium carbonate, which is the full name for the stuff, has been fantastic. It soared straight up to $600,000 in November. And now it is at $210,000. So there's a lot of lithium around. And it's the same old thing. High prices prompt production increases, which has been happening hugely. And then it's ironically with probably the beginning of the big fade in electric cars. But there's a little group of big people in the game, maybe China and other countries. And a month ago, they put together that they would put in a base price to stop the lithium from dropping further. And their base price is $250,000. And now it's down to, what did I say, $210,000, something like that. So even the big countries attempting to put in a base price, so far unsuccessful. So the lithium story is absolutely fascinating. $600,000 down to $210,000. Gotta love it.
Well, there's always the short play.
Oh, in retrospect, always very good.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, we've had another pleasant Friday morning together and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.